This episode is brought to you ad-free thanks to all of our wonderful patrons. You get tons of exclusive content and help us keep the show going by joining at patreon.com/shonenflop. And welcome to Shonen Flop Chibi, first impressions mini-episode where we talk about the first chapter of the series we'll be covering in-depth next week with our guest Dylan. I'm Jordan, and with me today, as usual, is my lovely co-host David. Say hi, David.
Hi, David.
What? Wait a minute. By God, that's Dylan's music. Oh, yeah, that's right, everybody. David is still on his honeymoon. So instead of him, we are joined, or rather, I am joined by our wonderful editor, Dylan, both of this podcast and, of course, Anime Out of Context, with all of you know, judging from the extremely explicit patron names that we frequently get, talking about all the disgusting sexual things you'd like to do to the host of that podcast. But anyway, how you doing, Dylan?
I am doing, aside from being, you know, a little sick, a little coffee feels like I deep-throated a cactus, aside from that, I'm feeling fantastic, and I'm really excited to talk about the first chapter of this, because what the fuck?
I know, right? And speaking of that, Dylan, what is the series that we're covering this week?
We are covering Service Wars.
Whoa. Oh my god. And Dylan, who's this by? I feel like this is a little bit of a Shonen Flop alum that we're dealing with this week.
This is by Harmone Surun. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that about as correctly as David would.
You're doing better than David would. Don't worry about it.
What other manga has he covered that have been on the show?
He did Mitama Security.
Okay, so at least one other.
Yeah, which I really liked. David liked, but not as much as me. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about Service Wars, and that ran from March 26, 2023 to December 3rd, 2023 for 40 chapters and 4 volumes. A little bit of a thick one this time.
Yeah, a little bit longer than, especially the one that was covered last week.
Oh god, that one still felt like it went on too long, even though it was 8 chapters.
the truest of the U19s.
So U19 that the author himself was like, this sucks. I'm done. And he was right. He was right. Enough about that. Let's get to the fucking first chapter plot summary. In the mountains, a lone waiter stands off against a bear with a fish in hand. The waiter smacks it with the fish, serving it its food. Meanwhile, the Ajimaru restaurant is going under, run by owner Iwao and his daughter Renga, inside a mostly abandoned shopping mall. They're in dire financial straits, partly because Iwao keeps giving broke, hungry people free food. What a fucking bastard, am I right?
Oh, the worst of the worst.
Oh, you're fucking up the free market, man! One day, however, a starving waiter named Nasunosuke collapses outside to try and serve him food, but he keeps switching places and serving them food instead. I actually really like
that. That was really good. I enjoyed how, like, they were just caught off guard. Like, wait, what? I'm being served?
Yeah, like, they'd pour water from him, and next thing you know, they'd be sitting down, and he'd be handing them the water. They'd be like, how the fuck did this happen? Eventually, though, he eats what they give him and is so taken aback by their generosity that he does a crazy dance outside saying that their ramen is the best ramen in the world, which attracts a ton of customers to the struggling diner. Nasunosuke then takes it upon himself to be the waitstaff, delivering excellent customer service.
One notorious customer named Stopwatch Sekiguchi.
What a bastard. Ah, fuck this guy.
The fucking worst. He's the bubble bass of this fucking manga.
Absolutely.
Stopwatch Sekiguchi times every single interaction with the waitstaff in order to complain if it's just a little too slow.
This is where I realize this author has worked a service position. This author been a waiter. You could just feel it where it's just, I don't know if anybody specifically did that, but this guy knows what's super fucking annoying when you're working at a job like this.
This is the kind of person that would go to a drive-thru. It would be after you've thrown out most of the food because you're open for like another 3 minutes. You don't expect anyone.
Oh, yeah.
You cleared out most of the overstock, and then they pull up and demand everything be made fully fresh, and then they're timing you the whole fucking time, and they're throwing a fit. They want coupons. That's this asshole.
The kind of guy who goes in right before you close. Exactly. Yes, that is this motherfucker.
Yeah. Fortunately, Nasunosuke guessed exactly what he wanted before he walked in. Enraging Sekiguchi, who just really wanted to complain. Because, in fact, Sekiguchi's nickname, aside from stopwatch, is also Karen.
He is the quintessential Karen. Again, it just feels like this guy had a specific customer in mind when he wrote this. Where he's just like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I hate that guy so much.
Sekiguchi is furious. He wanted to be the god of this restaurant the second he stepped in.
Yeah.
So, he responded to this slight by pulling a drone beetle that he just keeps on him for some reason.
Just in case he receives good service.
And placing it ever so carefully in his noodles. But Nasunosuke, he is the fucking kindest man. He delivers customer service to the drone beetle, including polishing it up and doing a little twirly display, spelling out with glittering lights, thank you for your patronage.
It was beautiful.
It was glorious.
This is the definition of killing them with kindness. You gotta respect.
He then returns the drone beetle to Sekiguchi, calling him out, saying, I saw you do that. You can't pull that shit on me.
I am watching every customer because I care about customer service. If somebody is running low, I gotta fucking be there to refill their water. So I fucking saw that shit.
I've got eyes in the back of my head. And not only does he have normal eyes in the back of his head, this motherfucker has aubergine eyes.
It's so good.
The eyes of the goddess of hospitality, which basically are just the Sharingan for customer service.
Yes, yes.
Sekiguchi is really embarrassed for trying to start all this and realizing it's backfired. He's panicking, so he just bolts.
Yeah.
He tries to pull a dine and dash.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck this guy so much.
Oh, yeah. And he was the entire time while Nasunosuke was, you know, polishing the drone beetle, giving it great service. He was trying to call attention, saying, hey, give these people a bad review. Record all of this. Post it online. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sekiguchi thought that he was owning this dude by filming it, but he played right into Nasunosuke's hand.
So while Sekiguchi is sprinting away, Nasunosuke decides to kindly thank him for his patronage by smashing him into the ground with a well-deserved headbutt.
I did question how this was good customer service, but I also respected that he did that.
I think it was the way he did it, because he was mid-bow. He was bowing to the customer.
It was pretty good.
And he just smashed him into the concrete. Bricks were flying. It was glorious.
Also, to be fair, this dude was dine and dashing.
If you're gonna fucking dine and dash, if they can catch you, it's on you.
Yeah. And hey, this guy, you know, even though he dined and dashed, Nasunosuke was still like, don't worry, I'll cover your food.
Which, oh, that is so incredibly kind.
Oh my god, so good. Such incredible customer service that I am sure Sekiguchi was so mad. Because it was like, god damn it.
That's the kind of person where if you show them actual, genuine kindness, it makes them even more mad.
Just, again, to reiterate, this guy had a specific customer in mind and has worked and dealt with these motherfuckers. He literally has Sekiguchi be like, I didn't actually want good customer service. I just wanted to come in here and complain. I'm the god of this restaurant as the customer. Ah, and it was like, feel you so hard, man. That I hate these guys.
Getting customer service PTSD flashbacks. But Nasunosuke's built different.
He is.
He actually begs to be hired by the restaurant, which, of course, they hire him.
We mentioned Bubble Bass earlier, and this is like the first episode of SpongeBob, where SpongeBob comes in and serves all the nematodes, and Mr. Krabs is like, damn, you're hired, dude.
Oh my, oh shit, that would have been a great power word, SpongeBob. Fuck.
Damn, how could you not hire him after that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He literally brought in a ton of people and then delivered fantastic customer service. What the fuck else could you expect? He's like, in one single day, he basically saved your restaurant from going under.
I mean, not to mention, worst case scenario, have him be outside playing the noodles with chopsticks like a violin.
Oh, it was great.
That is something I had never seen before. That was killer.
I also love how when they find him, he's on the ground, they think he's dead, and he spelled out something in blood, but he actually spelled out everything on some menu, all the food, in red wine. Just king shit. But yeah, so he's hired.
And, you know, he's kind of in a rough bit, but he also begs for a place to stay, and I'm assuming the restaurant just let him stay there, right?
He's paying back everything.
Oh, and then some.
They basically owe their restaurant to him. Oh, man. So let's get into the first impressions. If you can't tell, I think we're both kind of into this so far.
Oh, yeah. There's a particular frame of Sekiguchi where he says, okay, now I'm lost. And it's just a perfect reaction image that I feel deserves to be everyone's reaction of this first chapter.
I feel like if you work customer service, this is gonna... There's something real about this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I keep bringing it up, but this feels like this guy has worked this exact job and dealt with these exact customers. I was just like, God, fuck those guys. And you know what? As somebody who's worked customer service, yeah, fuck those guys.
Oh, yeah. And I can only imagine some of the other customers that are going to be coming in as this progresses, because there are some real bastards out there, man.
I remember I used to work at a pet store, which got killed by COVID because everybody just decided to do Chewy instead, which makes sense. And I'll never forget, this woman got really mad at me because I said goodbye at the wrong time. And she was like, are you trying to push me out of the store? And in reality, I was just kind of burned out and operating automatically. But she got so mad, she talked to my manager about it.
Oh my God.
No. The worst customer actually was this lady who would straight up bring her chihuahua into our store and let her chihuahua pee everywhere, not tell us.
No.
She would do this multiple times. She did this all the time. Like, as soon as she came in, she would do this. One time, I just straight up grabbed like a paper towel and like some cleaning spray because I knew it was going to happen. And I just kind of watched. And then I cleaned whenever her dog peed. And she got really upset that I was following her and told my manager. My manager was just like, Jordan, I know it sucks. Oh my God, but you can't do that. And oh, I understand.
Yeah, no, I know the type. I used to work at a friendly local gaming store, as they are known in the community. And every Thursday evening was Yu-Gi-Oh! Night. The Yu-Gi-Oh! Players, for the most part, were very pleasant to be around outside of the context of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
When a tournament started, something clicked in their heads and they became the worst fucking people to be around.
Oh, God.
They were constantly swearing. There were children playing. It's a family-friendly tournament. So they were cussing up a storm. They were slamming down on the table, flipping tables.
Oh, God.
Just like scooping and walking out. They would eat at the tables instead of the designated areas that are for eating and playing. They would eat at the fabric covered tables, greasy ass pizza. And one night after they had all left, I was one of like three people left in the store. I was cleaning up all of it. And I said, I can't believe we let them do all of this. One person who overheard was the tournament judge, who I guess was on really good terms with the store owner.
Yeah.
I was getting paid minimum wage for this. I was working 40, 50 hours. Weeks where I was judging Magic the Gathering tournaments. I was setting up things where people were learning Warhammer. I was learning new board games to give good recommendations and everything, and just being there for tournaments and everything. And the judge hears me complaining minimum wage for all this, and he complained to my boss.
Fuck that.
Who then flipped his fucking shit.
Ugh.
Absolutely lost it at me and said, you're lucky I pay you this much. If I could pay you less, I would. Do you think there are people out there that wouldn't kill for this fucking job?
Fuck off.
And I did not last until the end of that year.
I don't blame you. That is fucking... Oh, I hate that shit so much. Like, the fucking entitlement. Like, I was lucky enough to have, like, a boss who I liked. God, that sucks. Like, come on, man.
Honestly, the boss was really cool, except for that one moment. Something about that really set him off. Aside from that, he was a cool guy who was, honestly, now that I think about it, pretty problematic, because everyone at the store, aside from maybe two people that worked at all of his stores, were under the age of 21. He would regularly have parties at his house where people got fucking sloshed.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Now that I think about it.
That's not great. No. That's not great.
No, not great. Customer service, people.
That implies other crimes that I won't get into.
As far as I know, there were no other crimes, but that is to my knowledge. I worked there less than a year.
Okay, understood. As you guys could see, working at customer service jobs can often be traumatic.
A lot of things will get repressed for a while.
Yeah, until a manga like this drags it all out.
And then you're just forced to confront it in the daylight for the absurdity that it is.
But you know what? It's all right, because the thing is, this manga is kind of cathartic for me. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. You get it.
I look forward to all the times Natsunosuke is going to find that problem customer and just give them exactly what they deserve.
Yes, such respect. But Dylan, would you read another 10 chapters of this?
Oh, hell yeah. Especially if it gets weirder.
Oh, yeah.
Especially near the end is where they introduce things getting really weird with like the polishing the beetle and the light show and the aubergine eyes. I want things to just level up in weirdness each chapter, but not go too over the top.
Yeah.
How about you, Jordan?
Oh, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
I'm so down. Show me all of this catharsis. I need to see more customers getting put in their fucking place in a way that does not threaten this man's job or anything. Just mad respect. What do you think's gonna happen next, Dylan?
I think we're going to see a lot more characters with heavily food-themed designs, because I don't know if we went over this. Natsunosuke, his entire design, from his outfit to his hair, is eggplant. His hair is purple with the little black stem. His outfit is like a very green and purple, kind of like the striped aubergines you'll occasionally see. He is eggplant.
I feel like there was something like that in Mitama Security, where I think the main character looked like some vegetable. I mean, I could be remembering this completely wrong. I don't think it was an aubergine. Might be wrong, but that might be like something this author does.
It really fits with this as well. So hopefully this is where his character designs get to shine.
Yes.
I think we're going to see that Natsunosuke is probably going to like reveal that he's the last surviving worshiper of Omotenatsu, the goddess of hospitality, when he explains his aubergine eyes.
Yes.
And Renge is going to have a fucking heart attack.
Oh, man, a literal one?
Oh, look at her face. Now there is maybe two panels she's in where she's not just having a hypertension, oh my god, moment.
We didn't really mention Renge that much in this episode, but she mainly exists to react to the insane shit that is going on.
She's just the reaction images. That's all she is.
Yeah.
She doesn't have much agency aside from being a reaction image, unfortunately.
No, you know, it's manga.
Yeah, it's manga, and this is a manga about specifically Natsunosuke.
Yeah.
And the service he provides, so I get it.
It's not like the owner was that much of a character in this chapter either.
No, not really. Now, how about you, Jordan? What are some of your guesses of what's going to be coming up?
So first, I think there's going to be basketball in this manga. You see, something I also know about this author that you will learn if you read Mitama Security is he adores basketball.
Basketball, really?
Yeah, and there was one line in this chapter where the word slam dunk is mentioned.
He did mention slam dunk, I believe, in regards to like a customer service slam dunk.
For reference, there is a ghost in Mitama Security who is like a basketball player, and he's saying these strange words, and I looked it up, and it was just the full name of Dikembe Mutombo. That's all it was. Because he has like five middle names. And then there was like a training sequence where he was supposedly learning to be like a better Mitama Security spirit buster, I guess. And then it turns out he was just training to be good at basketball. So basketball is a big deal to this guy. And
has he written a basketball manga yet?
I don't know. But like Mitama Security was like half ghost busting and half basketball. Like, I'm not exaggerating. I really like it. But next, there will be a competing service worker with their own superpowers, kind of like a rival to Natsunosuke.
They show up at a food stall across the way or something, someone like right next door.
Yeah, where he's just like the best host in the world or something. And lastly, I think we will meet Natsunosuke's master, the one who trained him to be the best waiter in the world.
Do you think his master is the bear that we see in like the first panel?
Oh, man. You know, have you ever seen The Bear?
The Bear?
Yeah, the movie. I mean, the show.
No.
The Bear, I highly recommend it. It's really good. The most stressful TV show I've ever watched. It swept the Emmys, just so you know. It is a series about a guy trying to run a restaurant. Like, he takes over this restaurant from his dead brother, and his name is, like, Carmen Berzato or something. So they call him The Bear. And the first thing that happens in the whole series is he has a dream where he's like standing up to a bear. Very similar to the first thing we see in this chapter.
Okay, so that seems like a very loving homage then.
Oh, you know, I was going to say that this came out before The Bear. I don't know. When did the Bear come out? 2022. So it is possible. It is possible that this was relevant. I don't know how popular The Bear is in Japan, but yeah, The Bear, great show. And it's funny because they do at one point talk about excellent customer service at like a fantastic restaurant. And somebody's like, yeah, we actually research all of our guests before they show up so that we know what they want and we can surprise them.
That's creepy as shit.
It is creepy, but it was also like, oh man, that like when Nasunosuke said that he submitted it before the guy showed up, I got heavy bear vibes. So my power word is bear.
Hey, that's fitting. That's fitting. Mine is super.
Oh.
Because super and soup.
Super salad. Yeah.
Ouch.
Let's get into that fucking Q&A so we can hear what you want to know. David's not here, so I have to do this off the dome. If you would like to submit questions, you could do so on the designated channel in our Discord server. Please come in and ask a question.
We do give priority to patrons, people who have not asked a question before, or people who haven't had their question answered in quite a while.
First question, what's the worst song to play when the dad walks their daughter down the aisle?
So, Jordan.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with a little band called Steel Panther?
Oh, God. Yes. I don't think there's a single Steel Panther song that wouldn't be terrible to do this with.
Now, I was thinking originally, for a father walking their daughter down the aisle, you want to go with something sweet, something that, you know,
oh, no.
Has these moments of just the love that a father can have for their daughter, just to bring everything together, nice emotional buildup. So, Steel Panther's sweetest song to my recollection, Girl from Oklahoma.
Oh, that sounds very sweet. Not familiar with that one.
Yeah, and it's incredibly sweet. In fact, I'll pull up some of the lyrics for you.
Please do.
Well, I bet you never guessed when you came to the show, you'd be getting on the bus with me and doing some blow. Your mama's in the parking lot looking for you. She's gonna find you when I'm done, all covered with goo. I'm not gonna go any further because that's a little bit too much for this show.
I appreciate not going any further, but I also see your point. I went kind of a different route where I thought about a song that somebody would actually play at a wedding because everybody misses one line and they play it at wedding dances and shit and they really, really should not. That is Train in Vain by The Clash.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go with The Police, but okay.
Don't Stand So Close to Me. That's also a really bad song to play. But I was thinking, because the thing about Train in Vain is that the chorus is, everybody thinks it's like, you gotta stand by me. But it's actually, you didn't stand by me. No, not at all. You didn't stand by me. No way.
Oh, that's kind of a fuck you song then.
It's a song about the singer getting dumped by his girlfriend out of nowhere and like losing his place to stay because he was staying with her. Like, it's bad. I mean, it's a great song. But
I think that's a pretty solid one.
Yeah.
Next up we have from Glormac Ironspawn. What is Jordan Horfing down in his profile pic on the Shonen Flop website? Looks good. If you can't remember, what's your go-to sandwich order?
So what that is I mentioned working at a pet store earlier.
Please tell me it's not one of the pets.
No, that is me on my last day working at the pet store. There was a pizza place right next door. I was the only one in the store, so I just got a slice of pizza and just fucking ate it right there behind the register when nobody was there, and I just took a photo because, like, fucking whatever. I think it was a mushroom pizza. I don't entirely remember, but it was a slice of pizza.
Hell yeah, nice.
It was pretty good. I don't remember the name of the place.
You know, let's go into this. What is your go-to sandwich order?
You know, I'm a fan of the Italian hoagie.
Mm.
You know, gotta get that provolone, that oil and vinegar. And I like to put some mayo on it, which I don't know, some people might view as heretical, but I don't care.
There's some really good mayos out there, especially if they're homemade and they're not just like your normal scoop from a can. Mayo can be pretty solid.
It can be. I don't do that because I'm not fancy, but you're right.
Fair.
What's your sandwich order?
Personally, what I really like to do, there's a, I live in Salt Lake, there's a local sub shop called Moochie's, and they have an award-winning sub called the Atomic Meatball. Their meatballs are massive. They're renowned in the area. I'm sure they don't stand up to those from places that actually have competition, because the Salt Lake food scene sucks. But It is spicy beyond belief. I believe there's like roasted habaneros. There's chipotle, chili, garlic aioli.
Oh.
Provolone melted all over the top. It is so good, oh. So messy, and it fucks me up.
That sounds amazing. Also, you can tell that we're from different places because I call it a hoagie and Dylan calls it a sub.
Huh. I figured a hoagie was its own specific style, but, you know, I have no idea if there's really a distinction.
A hoagie is just what people from around Philadelphia call a sub. I really don't think there's another difference. And Dylan, what's your perfect holiday vacation? Secretly looking for ideas for next year's holiday season.
This is from Aussie Rat, and I'm going to bundle into this. Would you ever stay at a haunted clown motel? And I have a little bit of a story about this.
Oh my God. Of course you do. Didn't all you guys work at like a haunted house or something?
Oh yeah, we've all worked at haunted houses. I've worked at three. Sean and Rem have only worked at one, but they've worked at one for like a decade.
Gotcha.
But I worked at one that was renowned for being incredibly actually haunted. It used to be a hospital.
Mm. So you did stay at a haunted clown motel?
Yes. There are times, if it was a weekend, after my shift, we had a bunch of like gurneys and such that were just left in the building. So I would just hunker down and spend the night there.
Oh, God.
So I didn't have to drive down. So in fact, in the clown area, I have had stayed multiple times.
Oh, my God. And to answer it from my perspective, I would stay there for one night if there was a will stipulating that I would get $1 million if I did so.
Honestly, I think staying at an out of service haunted house would be one of my ideal vacations because it is so fun to just wander around with the lights on, see all of the animatronics, see the way all of the props work, see the fantastic set designs that are never really appreciated in the dark because you're usually being rushed through really quickly.
Yeah, so you can't see that they're animatronics.
Yeah. Asylum nowadays has an indoor courtyard with a river running through it and a fountain and some fantastic statues that you never get to spend the time to look at. And I think just spending like a week or even just like 3 days at an out of commission or a closed down haunted house for the season and just appreciating all of the art. Next up, we have from Red Blade. What books would you like to see / think would be good if they got a manga adaptation? And what about these books would you like to see as illustrated scenes or think would function well in that print form?
Well, I gotta tell you something. I'm reading Dracula right now.
Oh.
Be pretty sick as a manga adaptation. Also, things like Hellsing have really, not that I've read much Hellsing, but they really made me think that Abraham Van Helsing was like this super badass, like vampire hunter. He's just like a Dutch.
He's just an old guy.
He's just a Dutch doctor.
Yeah. I think the Gary Oldman one with Anthony Hopkins as Van Helsing does him pretty well.
Oh, vampires!
Sure. Yes, I need to see that. The way you talk about it, it seems fucking ridiculous.
You will watch it and have no clue what the fuck you just watched or how anybody came up with it. I highly recommend it. Whole thing's on YouTube if you want to check it out. And by the way, listener, listen to Mission Ignition, the podcast where I talk about that series.
Ooh, I'll plug a little early.
You can find it anywhere you get your podcast, whatever. David would get mad if I didn't say that. He's gotten mad at me for not saying that.
So I've been reading Yours Cruelly, Elvira. It's Cassandra Peterson, also known as Elvira's memoirs. And I would honestly love to see more memoirs, more biographies, more autobiographies with an illustrated adaptation.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because that, honestly, I feel would be a great way to help bring people more into an appreciation of it. I'm sure there's a limited number of them in manga. I haven't encountered any. And honestly, I think if there are some, they need to be bigger. There needs to be more of a push to get them out there. Because these are people's real stories that need to be heard.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was a really good kind of example of that I read a bit of. I should read more, called My Lesbian Experience with Loneliness. Where it was just this woman... writing about, it's a manga, it's really well done, just writing about what it's like to be a lesbian in Japan and struggle with severe loneliness. It's really good. So I agree, biographical manga, I'd love to see more of that.
Hell yeah. And finally, from Trafalgar Wolfwood, what is the worst video game you have ever played?
Okay, so picture this. It's middle school. I mentioned last time, man, I love Mega Man. I really love Mega Man. My email for years was Mega Maniac. And then one day my friend gives me a birthday present, like a late birthday present. And I open it and Dylan, it's Mega Man X7.
Oh,
that game fucking sucks. That is a stunningly bad game, which if you don't know, that was their attempt to make turn Mega Man X into a 3D platformer. But according to them, the actual way that Keiji Inafune approached this was, well, we don't have to change anything. Just make it play like a 2D platformer in 3D. Hey, that doesn't work.
Oh, no. Oh, that sounds terrible.
It's atrocious. And what's even worse, they ran out of ideas. There's one of the Mavericks is named Tornado Tunyon, and he's just an onion. And you don't get to play as X until halfway through the game.
What?
But yeah, but it's Mega Man X.
But why? Who?
They introduced a new character that you could play as named Axel.
Got it memorized.
Who I've heard him described as the Silver the Hedgehog of Mega Man, where he's not a bad character, but he was introduced in the worst possible game. I feel like I'd rather play Mega Man DOS.
There was a DOS adaptation?
Okay, Mega Man DOS is fascinating because it was made by this one guy on like his off time. And when he quit Capcom, he went up to his boss, his former bosses, and was like, by the way, I made this game on my off time. Would you like to publish it? And they're like, yeah, sure. So it's basically an officially licensed Mega Man fan game. It is terrible, but it's also like, I mean, it was made by one guy, again, in his free time. So like, you can't really get mad at it. It's kind of impressive in that regard, but it's terrible. Like, it is hilariously bad. Like, I would look it up. It's really funny.
I'll keep that in mind. For me, the worst game I have ever played, I can't remember the full title of it, but there was a time when my then girlfriend and I were Pajama Sam.
Of course.
Spy Fox.
Classic.
We moved on to Grim Fandango and...
classic.
Some of the other, you know, the LucasArts point and clicks. Those are so damn fun. Monkey Island and such.
Oh, yeah.
And then we played most of them at that point. We wanted to try something completely different. And I saw an indie point and click adventure that is an adaptation of The Odyssey.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, that is fascinating. I want to see how they actually approach all of this.
That could be good. That could be good. Like, that's not a bad pitch for a point and click adventure.
Yeah, it takes place before, like, it starts before even the start of the Trojan War, and then it's the entire thing. It's apparently one of the largest, it was one of the largest point and click projects out there.
Oh, God.
The art was pixel art, very pixel art, but in the style of Grecian urns, but with color. So it was that style of character, just with color going around. Visually, it was really cool.
Yeah.
It had a problem.
What?
After reading through tons and tons of typos and trying to find walkthroughs, there were no Steam reviews. There were no walkthroughs. There was nothing available on this damn game.
Oh, fuck.
There was a broken text box that it was supposed to be maybe 20 minutes into the game. This was after hours of trying.
No!
There was a broken text box that anytime you needed to speak to this statue of, I believe it was Hera. You needed to talk to the statue. Anytime you would click on it, it would open a text box. It had voiceover for everything. Her voice would start playing. The text box wouldn't progress.
Oh, God.
So just
no.
When she stopped talking, I'd hit next. Nothing would happen.
That seems like one of those, like, evil old school DRM things they would put
in. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It was, honestly, the style was great. The premise was great. The execution was some of the worst and most bug-ridden stuff I had ever experienced, unfortunately. And uninstalling, reinstalling, nothing fixed it. I was unable to progress past that point after hours of effort, which was super early in the entire, you know, prospect of the game.
That's a shame, too, because it doesn't even sound like it's like the developer's fault, or at the very least, like it's not a bad game. It's just a broken game.
Exactly. Which is such a shame, because it spoiled it. I was unable to play the game. I was the only person to leave a Steam review, and it was a negative review that I was giving so much constructive feedback, but saying, I can't recommend this to anyone. The developer never responded. I don't know if it's still on Steam, but it was a bad time.
That's just sad. But yeah. All right. Well, that's all the questions we have for today. Dylan, thank you so much for filling in for David. And thank you so much for editing this.
Thank you very much, Jordan, for all that you do and for helping polish up editing during your passes as well.
That is... You are very
Props
welcome.
To Shannon for the awesome cover. You can find her online at Illuminati. There's normally a part in this setup where they thank Dylan and my podcast, Anime Out of Context.
Thank you, Dylan. Hey, thank you, Dylan.
But it's a little out of place, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Where can we find your podcast, Anime Out of Context?
You can find Anime Out of Context literally anywhere you find your podcasts, from Spotify, Podbean. I would say Stitcher, but they're gone. I would
really?
Say Google Podcasts, but they're gone. I would say SiriusXM's podcasting, but they're gone now. You can find us on YouTube.
Oh my God.
You can find us just on YouTube itself, even.
Yeah, or even animeoutofcontext.com.
Oh yeah, we do have a website. I forgot about that.
but thanks to Tucker and MaxDB for assistance with pronunciation, translation, other miscellaneous research. You can find us on Twitter at ShonenFlopcast, Tumblr Shonen-Flop, and our website ShonenFlop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Join the Shonen Flop Discord. It's open to everyone, patron or not. Come hang out with us and talk about anime, games, or whatever else is on your mind. We also have a monthly movie night. You can find a link to it in the show notes or on our site. If you've been enjoying the podcast, want to help us keep going, consider subscribing to our Patreon. We wouldn't be able to keep running the show without your support. You also get a ton of awesome perks, like exclusive content, including this month's piece of content, Ichinose's Family Sins. Ichinose, I know. With Crimson Rogue. You could even be sitting in listening to our recordings live or listen to the warm-up audio. Find us at patreon.com/shonenflop. And let me read out the list of patrons that we are thanking today. First, I'd like to thank our $25 dolphin dads. We got Glornak. My brain is officially fried because ... breasts. Rachel, David's lovely wife. We got our $10 ravioli tier patrons who get photos of David's beautiful and cute puppy, Ravioli.
Ravioli's so cute.
Ravioli is so cute. Chris Xenophontos, Eva, Lady T, Matt T, and Trevor Schechter. Next, I'd like to thank our $8 King of the Forest patrons, including 090Z, Bandit Stoof, my wonderful girlfriend, Chad Mason, Jacob Andrew Galloway, Kirby Mon Duskoles, Marty, Max Baker, Riley 3.14, 592653358. Happy Pi Day, Sarah Hydra, Sean, your weeb level dot, it can't be, it's over 9,000! Anyway, the Wolf, the Wood, and the Trafalgar, and Tommy underscore boy. Next, we got our Galactic Ball Federation officers, a mid-sized sedan, Andy's Island, Aura, Blamumu, Brandon M, David Ackerson, Dennis James Moan, Dralgo, Drew, hey, Dylan Kreider?
Huh, weird,
fuck is that?
I support a podcast I'm a part of? Weird.
What the fuck? Aaron Pacadine, Fax Kellerman, Flashcard Man, Generic Man, Hans, Heavy Metal Hermit Crab, Keanu, Manly P. Hall, Mara Barra, Matthew Sivilich, Mike Carpenter, Obscure Reference, ha ha ha, oh, just like the Inkle. Who's your favorite Inkle character? I really like Kill Wolfhead. Resident Warhammer Nerd, Ryan Jasinski, Scott Friesler, Silly Rookie, Sipping for Senpai Ash, Staghorn, Taperclip, parentheses, Reed Polymon Fur, Tucker Watley, Wright, ZZ Digital, and all of our Beast children. Thank you very much. You are all of my children. And be sure to check out Mission Ignition as I plugged earlier. Dylan, anything else you would like to talk about?
I don't have anything necessarily that I would like to talk about, but I would like to recommend. There is an artist on Spotify that I am friends with. They are putting out a single song every month. They just released a Ouija board themed song. Before that, they had a song with two endings called Medusa Says. And before that, they had a song that always gets stuck in my head called Undertow. So look up the goth rock musician Traumagician, Traumagian, on Spotify.
I do like my goth rock. I love Typo Negative, you know? So, I guess they're goth metal, whatever. Big Susie and the Banshees fan?
Ooh.
Yeah, Sisters of Mercy. Anyway.
Orgy.
Oh, Orgy, yeah. Oh, that Blue Monday cover. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Tune in next Monday for our full episode on Service Wars, featuring this guy, Dylan.
Hey.
This has been Jordan.
This has been Dylan.
And you've been listening to Show to Flop. Dylan, say it!
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Bye.
Bye.